your prime.
What about my prime, Nick?
Hello, Properly Howard fans. Steve and I are gearing up for the next season of Properly Howard, where we're hoping to cover movies that feature crime, not necessarily just crime dramas, but crime-related. We're calling this season Felonies and Fugazes. Steve and I will be selecting our films draft style for the upcoming season, Felonies and Fugazes. Hey, if you happen to be in the San Francisco area this weekend, you might be lucky enough to check out Steve do his stand-up at Cobb's. All right, without further ado, here is stand-up comic Steve Osborne. So, Steve, I do not want to mislead our listeners. It may look as if we have not been recording podcasts for some time.
Mm-hmm.
We have been conducting podcasts.
Yeah.
I mean, almost daily, and yet... It just seems as if one of us can't press record.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to name any names, but...
Yeah, I think that we've held this draft at least 14 times, and each time I failed to press record. And honestly, I don't even know if I'm recording right now, so we're going to see how this works.
Yeah, it's kind of like we're doing podcast cosplay. Like, it's not the real thing. But we're enjoying ourselves.
This is the only way that I can feel anything.
Yeah.
I've realized that otherwise my life is dull, but if I can trick Steve into recording a fake podcast,
yeah,
there's a little part of my sociopathic nature that's tickled by that. So, yes, we are going to try to re-record our... Crime Draft Film Fest, and we're calling
you,
this...
You would think after many efforts to do this that you would have had a
better
way to intro that.
I've changed the title several times. Yeah, no, I don't really...
At least it still reads like a spontaneous podcast.
As long as I keep making mistakes, it will keep feeling like it's new for the first time. We're calling this The Fugitives, and... No, we're not. Damn it. Felonies and Fugazes, 20th Century Crime Drama Film Festival. And I don't know why I wrote Fugitives on this, but what we've done is we've recorded this at least twice already. One time I didn't press record. The other time was kind of us feeling really bummed that I didn't press record.
Yeah, we tried to do it right afterwards. And so we were just kind of like, I'll take over here because I think I can speak.
Thank you. Thank God.
For the folks at home, what we're doing is, you know, you've heard us do drafts for the season. We pick movies. And so this is no different, except it is more complicated. And we did one and it was great. And then about half hour into the 45 minutes of the podcast, that's when we realized we did not record it. So we said, let's try it again. We were very upset. And and then it was like, well, maybe we shouldn't do the same movies that we just did. It's like, but we were excited. And then so we went through it and it was really not an enjoyable listen.
On top of that, I started the thing off by drafting a Woody Allen movie that really pissed you off. So in addition to you not being thrilled with losing some pretty good content, I doubled down and I thought, I'm going to draft a film I know Steve's going to hate. This will make up for it.
This will make a really good podcast if he's already bummed out, and then I can maybe just pour some salt on it. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to, between the two of us, we're going to draft 10 films that are focused on crimes.
Yes.
And
agreed.
So anytime I say something wrong, feel free to jump in. But this is my way of making sure I understand the latest iteration of this attempt. So it's 20th century. Nobody can. Okay, this is where it gets a little complicated.
Can I interject here for a minute?
If you think you can.
I would just like to say that these rules have changed a bit because my solution to screwing up several times was just to keep complicating the rules so that we wouldn't just come up with the same films that we had before. So what I've done is I've complicated the rules so much that it would almost make it impossible for us to be satisfied with this draft when we're done.
Right. What we did before, not that it necessarily matters, but I think it's maybe helpful to understand your psychosis, is we were supposed to take a movie from the 20th century, and we couldn't duplicate a release year. So if I took a movie from 1988 was off the board for Anthony.
That sounds simple enough, right?
Yeah, that's part of it. And then they also had to satisfy one of five categories. Categories were a bag of cash, has to have some sort of, the movie has to have some moment where there is either a duffel bag of cash or a big briefcase or maybe a giant envelope.
At least an envelope of cash. Yeah, yeah. It had to have at least some kind of cash.
Which would imply a robbery or heist, or maybe a large con would be sort of the theme there, right? Then there was Dirty Cop. Dirty Cop was one of them. So the film has to have cops on the take, or, you know, something along those lines. There was Unlikely Partners. The other category was a Greasy Italian. It had to feature a greasy Italian.
And I remember you insisted on this, and I being Italian, I thought, you know, this is really offensive, Steve. I don't know.
I think you are misremembering, but I mean, I could so because you're Italian and I am newly Irish. I mean, I almost wonder if we could have expanded that, right? Like a greasy Italian or a drunk Irishman. Because, I mean, since both of those things include redundancies.
So that was my my category, Greasy Italian. And
and then there was a wild card. So yes. once you've satisfied, like you could use, if one doesn't necessarily fall into all that category, you can use a wild card. Or a wild card just gives you an extra pick, essentially. So this time,
here's what I did. The categories are now monetary MacGuffin. So this could be a bag of diamonds or a bag of gold or a bag of cash or whatever. Monetary MacGuffin, Greasy Italian, I had to keep that one in. Unlikely Partners, Dirty Cop, pre-1984 film. Now, the pre-1984 film was simply because we realized that we were leaning heavily toward the end of the century rather than the early films.
Right, right.
So I eliminated Wildcard, but
yes,
if you feel like one of your movies can satisfy two of the categories, then you can claim it as satisfying two of the categories, no more than two.
To give yourself one Wildcard.
And then you can give yourself a Wildcard. So that, so that allows a little bit of flexibility, but the film absolutely has to satisfy it. These two categories. It can't be a stretch. That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
All right. So the way that we're going to begin this, unless there...
Oh, there is one more. There is one more wrinkle here.
Okay.
As opposed to just doing, if I select 1988 and that eliminates your ability to select 1988, it actually eliminates all release years that end in 8. So yeah, it's actually... So 1988 would then eliminate your ability to take 98, 78, 68.
Right.
And so forth.
So the final digit of the release year has to kind of look like a Sudoku line.
So so this guarantees that every single movie will have a unique final digit for the release date.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the way that we're going to begin this, because I just can't stop complicating these these rules, is that I'm going to roll a 10-sided die, and the higher number will select first, but the number that is rolled on your behalf, you're now stuck with, and you're going to have to select a movie in that year. So if I roll...
Is that your first pick, or is it just up to you when you use it?
I think it's up to you when you use it, but the other person cannot draft that year.
Yeah, so that year is off the board for that, right?
So okay, you could, so you know that you're going to get that year at some point.
So there's no necessarily advantage to taking it first.
You might decide to take it last because you're every already guaranteed movie. It. Yes, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Okay, that's
right.
That's
So if I draft four, you draft three, I'm going to go first, but I am now stuck with 84, 74, 94, and the lot. And you are now stuck with any year that ends with three. Are we clear on the felonies and fugazis draft rules, Steve?
Who's to say?
I would like to add the additional rule.
Like what?
No, I'm kidding. All right, I'm going to roll this die, and we're going to see what happens. I'm going to roll for you first, all right?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. This is a five, Steve. So now you have the number five and any film that ends with the number five.
All right.
And I'm going to roll me. I have the number two, so you're going to draft first.
Now
I'm going to take a look at all the movies I have with ending in two.
Same, same. Man, I got some decent stuff here.
So you're going to go first, and I'm kind of curious to see what you do with this.
So I am going to start us off with... This is very exciting. I'm doing it. I'm doing Tango and Cash, 1989.
Wow.
Tango and Cash is the number one pick, and this is going under my unlikely partners category, and I'm trying to see if I can double it up. I just don't recall.
I mean, you could do unlikely partners and Greasy Italian.
Oh, that's true. Yes, right. Yes, I'm doubling down. So that gives me a wild card.
All right, that gives you a wild card, and that also takes off the board crimes and misdemeanors.
I was mostly doing it for that reason.
By me taking crimes and Woody Allen's crimes and misdemeanors as before. It freaked you out. I think I got in your head a little bit.
It freaked me out. You did. I'm very happy.
Tango and Cash to the highest selection on your
list. Tango. Yeah. In for the first time in the history of modern cinema, Tango and Cash was picked first for something.
All right.
So I say this, I like this movie. I like this movie a great deal. And you've seen it? Yes.
I have seen it
recently,
within the last few years, and I was surprised at how many twists and turns this movie has.
Yeah,
they pulled out all the stops with this
movie. I mean, if we could have also included a category of Kurt Russell in drag,
the partners are very unlikely in this film. So here's what this takes off the board for me. Roadhouse, Crimes and Misdemeanors, Three Kings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I added Moonraker.
That's an amazing one, because I was just talking about Moonraker, and I had that one as a potential.
Because I did do a little bit of deep dive into trying to find more 70s movies that would
me
fit.
Me too.
And I've never seen Moonraker, and I hear it's just horrible.
Oh, I love Moonraker.
Do you really?
Right. Oh, man.
Well, we may have to keep Moonraker in mind for future possibilities. All right. I am going to take Gross Point Blank.
Ooh.
In the category of unlikely partners. I really enjoy this movie. I don't think that this could be called a crime drama. I think it's more of a rom-com than anything. I do like this movie a lot. I think it's kind of the perfect movie for, designed specifically for Gen Xers. Mm. This is Minnie Driver and John Cusack and Joan Cusack. I think it's a legitimately funny movie. And, it's about a hitman who goes to his high school reunion. So if you haven't seen this movie... I highly recommend it. And I think that 97 has a lot of competition here.
Yeah, I think you're right.
What it does for me, of course, is it ensures that I do not have to watch Face Off again. I know that is a film that I think you took out of spite because I took Crimes and Misdemeanors.
That is correct.
And I just want to make sure that I don't have to waste 2 hours with Travolta and Cage facing off. Wink, wink. So it also does take off In the Heat of the Night, The Untouchables, Raising Arizona, Jackie Brown and Copland. All, you know, all interesting movies.
Very interesting. All solid, yes.
This, I don't think I can double up. It just fits in one category, as far as I can tell. And, Steve, it is now your selection.
All right, and that was...
Seven.
I am going to go. I think you know where I'm going to go with this one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 1988. We're going to do a little thing called Shakedown. Shakedown will satisfy my dirty cops.
Now, I never seen Shakedown, and I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
How many times have you seen Shakedown?
Probably like twice, maybe three times.
Okay.
But I revisit certain scenes from it, actually.
Okay. This does take off the board one of my favorite films of all time, The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
It also removes Donnie Brasco, Midnight Express, and, you know, a few other possibilities here.
By the way, you're taking seven. Took Smokey and the Bandit off as my pre-84.
Yeah.
And that was going to be Unlikely Partners and pre-84 if I needed to.
All right, I'm going to take Pulp Fiction.
Whoa. That is a shocking, shocking pick.
I know. And I think that I mentioned to you in a previous conversation that I was a little reluctant to take Pulp Fiction because it is one of my favorite films. And I kind of am worried that if I cover it in podcast form, it'll sort of put my definitive opinion on the film.
Mm.
You know, it's like, will I ever talk about it again? I've already podcasted about it, but I think it's an unwarranted concern. I think this film is so rich that I think that my fears were unwarranted.
Okay.
This absolutely satisfies multiple categories, Dirty Cop and Monetary MacGuffin.
This takes off a few for me. Takes off Speed. Takes off Beverly Hills Cop.
Mm-hmm. Also takes off Godfather Part 2 and Leon the Professional.
Mm-hmm.
Both films I had considered. Let me cross these off. And now, Steve.
And you covered Dirty Cop and you covered the MacGuffin, correct? Looking for a Greasy... Oh, no, I got a Greasy Italian. I'm already... Yeah,
I'll covered be your my, Greasy Italian.
Well, so. I've covered... Tango and Cash is my Greasy Italian. So all I have
left... Oh, that's right. You do.
So all I have left is pre-84 and then a wild card, right?
I will say, though, you know, Stallone is maybe his least greasy in this film. He, you know, he's sort of a... he's trading stocks on the side. Not to say you can't do that as a greasy Italian. I'm just saying he's a pretty buttoned up, straight-laced kind of guy in this film.
Yeah, but I mean, my guess is that every morning he has a degreasing regimen that we don't see.
There's just a little grease that oozes out every here.
Just sort of seeps.
All right. What is your next selection?
All right. So I need, to be clear, I need a pre-84.
Yes.
And then it's because I want two, three.
Oh, a Monetary MacGuffin.
And right? A Monetary MacGuffin. Yes. Oof, boy. I do have a potential Monetary MacGuffin I can use in that. But I'm not going to. I'm going to use my Monetary MacGuffin to choose 1991's Point Break.
Point Break, I've seen once, and I did see it in the 90s, and I'm absolutely looking forward to covering this movie with you.
Very excited to watch this movie and talk about it with you.
For me, it does take off Thief, 81's Thief, Prince of the City, also 81, and Silence of the Lambs, which I watched recently. All right.
Yeah, this takes off Dirty Harry, which is something I was saving for a pre-84.
So this is pre-84 or Monetary MacGuffin? I guess you've got both.
That's Monetary MacGuffin, not pre-84, because it's 91.
Got it. Yeah, that's right. All right, I'm going to take True Romance. Second film written by Tarantino on my list. Not directed by Tarantino.
This is very interesting because this is actually shaping up to be very similar to our first attempt at this. But Pulp Fiction is the big change here.
This goes into the category of greasy Italian. And
this wipes out a lot.
And the greasy Italian in this film. How do I say this? The greasy Italian in this film is not a character you would that you'd generally think of. It's not an actor you would generally think of as a greasy Italian, but his greasiness is called out so profoundly in this film that it's hard to miss. Not a film that could be made in today's political climate. Gary Oldman is just giving a rare performance in this film. It's a classic Tarantino crime drama, but it's interesting because Tarantino is not directing, so it kind of is lacking a little bit of the Tarantino sensibility. And you have not seen this movie.
I have not.
So I think you're going to really enjoy this one.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. So now you've got a wild card or a pre-84.
Yeah, and so just to be clear, so you're picking, that's a 93, so you took away from some of my options, which were Perfect World,
mm-hmm.
Judgment Night.
Perfect World, as I've already mentioned to you prior to this, was the movie that scandalized me sexually.
Mm.
Before that, I had no idea that butt stuff was a possibility.
So it's educational.
I mean, I was in my late teens, and I thought I imagined everything that you could possibly do.
Wow.
I just had no idea.
So you're in your late teens and you've never heard the initials BF before?
No, I had. It was that Kevin Costner, he was just orally fixated in a way that it was scandalous.
Especially because the title was Perfect World, and you're like, I had no idea what Utopia could be.
No, I was a bit of a prude. I think as a young man, I was a wholesome young guy who, you know, on occasion tried to act out, but not very successfully. It took Kevin Costner to kind of open my eyes to the world.
Not just the eyes.
All right. And let's see here. You took, was that me or you? I took True Romance. That was my greasy Italian.
Yeah, and I was just reading off what was taken away from me.
Mean Streets, Serpico, Judgment Night.
BMX Bandits was one that I was considering.
Oh, my.
Nicole Kidman from 83. So this is, so I know I have a five, and I could potentially use that as my pre-84 if I go to 1975. I'm not real keen on 1975. To be honest, five was probably the number that I wanted to roll the least.
Okay.
I have some options. Kind of depends on what direction we want to go. So I'm just holding on to the five because I'll probably just end up using it as my wild card. And my next pick will be a pre-84. Unfortunately, one of the pre-84s that I really would like to pick is in the two category. So this is where I'm a little stuck. So I'm to there is a I'm doing it. I'm going
Don't do
my
it.
Pre
Don't
I'm
do
going
it.
I'm going my pre-84 movie.
Oh no.
And there is a crime in it.
Oh great.
I doubt you've seen this.
You don't have to be this person. There's no reason why.
I have not seen this movie either.
Oh, God.
This is from 1980. The movie is called Hero at Large, starring John Ritter.
This is 80?
Yeah.
Hero at Large.
This is one I didn't necessarily want to have to do. But
wait a second.
It was...
Is this a crime drama?
No. But this...
It has a crime in it, at least.
Oh well, yes. Without the crime, there
is the fact that the movie was made a crime. Is that what you're saying?
Possible. Let me put it to you this way: this is your quick synopsis.
All right.
A struggling actor buying milk stops a robbery while wearing a superhero uniform promoting a movie. There you go.
That's it.
Okay. There's a crime. He thwarts a crime. I'm looking at a.
Does he stop the crime by tripping over a couch?
I cannot wait. I cannot wait to watch this movie.
All right. Okay.
There's a trailer in the background right now, and I just saw John Ritter in a tub.
All right.
Yeah, you've never heard of this movie, right?
You know what? I think I have. I think I knew that John Ritter starred in a superhero movie at one point, but I didn't know the title of this.
There's a lot of shirtless Ritter in this trailer, by the way. Ooh, right. And Bert Convy is in this? Oh, baby.
All right. It is now my selection.
Oh, man. We're gonna get some listeners going, this is the crime movie.
So you here's the movies that you could have had instead of the movie you just chose. You could have had Goodfellas, maybe the best crime drama ever on film. Godfather Part 3, which might be an interesting watch for us. Not going to be this season for sure. And Memento, which I know that you're a big fan of Memento.
Yeah, well, it pushed me to then I would have to go to 1975 for my pre-84.
Uh-huh.
And I'd poured over that one, and there's some options, but if it was, I mean, I guess I could have also gone with a 1976, but I this one was there,
mm-hmm.
This one was just sitting there, and I did of all of them, this is probably the least crimey, like obviously so.
Uh huh. Okay, I need to make this one work. I kind of feel like it's on me to select at least a couple good movies that people will enjoy.
What?
Because
I feel like that's a shot directly at me.
Oh, I wonder why. Because
you better be careful, because I have something chambered in for 85 that might change the whole thing.
I feel like you've taken it upon yourself to make sure that all of the bad movies ever made are represented. I mean, and they are underrepresented. There's not a lot of people caping for Hero at Large.
See, here's the thing, is that first off, I do not think Point Break is a bad movie. I think it's a little silly, but I don't think it's a bad movie.
No, I wouldn't. No, that I wasn't taking a shot at the late great Patrick Swayze at all.
But it feels like maybe you're overcorrecting. You're over here with your Pulp Fictions.
No,
your two
I'm
romances.
Thinking. I'm just thinking historically of like Superman 3, for instance, or Howard the Duck. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. All right, it is my turn to select, and I'm going to take the movie My Cousin Vinny.
Whoa, I'm shocked. I thought you were going to use this as your pre-84.
My Cousin Vinny is It's a kind of comedy that I don't feel like Hollywood makes anymore. I mean, Joe Pesci is an interesting actor in the history of Hollywood. It's like, could he ever happen again? He's almost a miracle, if you think about
the miracle of Joe Pesci.
He was larger than life in this particular, this one little moment, this early 90s Pesci moment. It's like, this is one of the best actors in Hollywood, and he looks and sounds and acts like Joe Pesci. He's legitimately good in this movie, and I think this movie holds up. I think it's a really funny and interesting crime movie that's also a courtroom drama. So I'm a big fan of My Cousin Vinny.
I like it. I mean, I'm excited to watch it again for sure. Just really surprised you didn't take advantage of that 48 hours. I mean, that's going to be one of those picks I think you're going to look back on.
It's true. I might hate myself as soon as we stop recording. Wait, have we started recording? Steve, it is now your pick.
All right. So I'm sitting in the fives. All my categories are satisfied. So I just have to pick any old crime movie, and it can be 95, 85, 75, 65. So there's an obvious choice here.
Okay.
It's definitely a crime movie. It's one that you and I have an extended history with. But in the same vein as the Pulp Fiction final word, there's that concern that we talk about this, we may never talk about it again, and maybe that's fine, you know, maybe that's okay. But there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of options in 95 that fit this category, and there's a part of me that hears what you're saying about my selections that include things like Tango and Cash and Hero at Large.
Yes.
A little bit of snobbery on your part, in the sense that you feel like you're picking films and I'm just picking throwaway movies. So there's a part of me that wants to show you up, prove you wrong. And there's another part of me that's like,
maybe I'm in your head, though.
Maybe I could lean into this.
Maybe you're off your game. Maybe this whole thing with, maybe I didn't press record on purpose just to throw you off.
So I'm going to do kind of my own commentary. Like, if you're watching a draft, like, these are the players on the board. These are the things that I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at Heat from 95.
Yeah, that's what I would choose if I was in your seat.
Yeah, I figured you would.
Yeah.
But that would also mean that we wouldn't be watching Virtuosity starring Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe.
Oh, man. Oh, God damn.
It would also mean that I won't go to 1985 and watch Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Ooh, that one's a good one.
And there is definitely crime in there. I mean, we are talking... and assault, we're talking kidnapping. Oh my gosh,
and we could actually put that out on Double Dragon too, for sure.
Yep, it's Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon from 1985.
Well, you're not going to hear any criticism from me on Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. For what this movie is trying to do, it may do it better than any other movie.
yeah, I agree. It's it does exactly what it sets out to do, which is not something that, you know, could be said of most movies.
Yeah,
the soundtrack is bulletproof.
I was just talking about this movie the other day with my wife. It was a very one-sided conversation.
Talking at her while she's driving.
I think she was in the kitchen, and I was going on about El DeBarge, and anyway,
man.
great choice. I take back everything I ever said. think you've really redeemed yourself with this. This next movie, and this is my last selection. So that was your last selection, right?
That was my last selection. That was my wild card because I satisfied all my categories.
Okay, this next movie.
84, here we go.
I had never heard of before.
Whoa.
Until I did a little bit, a little search into 70s crime dramas. This is a movie called Mikey and Nikki. Have you heard of this?
No.
This stars Peter Falk and John Cassavetes.
Mm-hmm.
It does have Bob Balaban in it and Ned Beatty. And
hot.
And I've never seen this movie.
I mean, could have gone with the Enforcer, you know.
I this is the movie I've chosen.
Could have gone Mikey, Outlaw Josie Wales. You could have gone
Mikey and Nikki. I do believe it would satisfy Unlikely Partners and Monetary McGuffin. And you know what? Who doesn't want to watch Peter Falk in a serious crime drama?
Probably, I can think of one person. Maybe. Yeah. All so right. for all the things I do, this is very much the things you do.
Yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I wanted to make sure that I made this work because this is the kind of movie that if it was just me at home, no one else around, I would be searching for a 70s crime drama that I hadn't seen before, and I feel like I've seen a lot. And so if I stumbled upon Mikey and Nikki with Peter Falk, I would think, oh, I'm going to give this a try for sure. So not only do I get to watch a movie that I would be interested in watching anyway.
This is my favorite part of the New York Times critique of Mikey and Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
It's a melodrama about male friendship told in such insistently claustrophobic detail that to watch it is to risk an artificially induced anxiety attack.
You just described this podcast.
They seem to just be carrying on, making elaborate actor fusses in front of the camera. Miss May is a witty, gifted, very intelligent director. It took guts for her to attempt to make a film like this, but she failed.
This sounds right up our alley.
A spoiler alert, Heather will not be watching this one with me.
Oh, well, it is about male friendship. So.
And it does sound like it's not good. So.
So the fact that it's not good, that should make you happy. And the fact that it's a 70s crime drama should make me happy.
Yeah. 1976. That's what you got. All right. Mm-hmm. That's on brand.
So let's go through our selections again. Steve, you've taken in Monetary MacGuffin, Point Break.
Yes.
You took in Unlikely Partners and Greasy Italian, Tango and Cash.
Correct.
You took in Dirty Cop, Shakedown from 1988, which I've not seen. And you took in the category of Wild Card, Hero at Large.
That's pre-84 was the Hero at Large.
Oh, and Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
That's right.
In which category was that?
That was Wild Card.
Wild Card. Oh, got it. Got it. I took Gross Point Blank in Unlikely Partners, Mikey and Nikki as my pre-84, Pulp Fiction in the categories of Dirty Cop and Monetary MacGuffin, True Romance in the category of Greasy Italian, My Cousin Vinny as my wild card. I think we got ourselves a Felonies and Fugazis Film Fest, Steve.
We certainly do.
How do you feel about this selection as opposed to previous iterations of this draft?
I think this is pretty great because it's very close to our first attempt at this, which we were pretty excited about. And then
but did not include Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
It did not include Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. It did not include Pulp Fiction. It certainly did not include Mikey and Nikki or Hero at Large. So that's just so so it's clear, you did this. You added the other category to complicate it, and and here we are. And here's what I think is interesting: we talked about adding a category that forces us to go early because we knew that there was a lot of like really interesting 70s and early 80s crime dramas, and what we came up with was Mikey and Nikki and Hero at Large. We added this category to add a little bit of old school flavor, and we shat the bed.
Hey, look, neither of us have seen Mikey and Nikki. It is possible that the New York Times was just wrong.
And neither of us have seen Hero at Large. So how many of these movies are you watching for the first time? Shakedown?
I definitely have not seen Hero at Large. Yeah. Shakedown. I've not seen Point Break in a very long time. Okay. So it will be not the first time, but
it'll feel like it.
It'll feel like it. I mean, I've got a few not fond memories of my first watch, but I'm in a different place in my life, Steve.
I think you're going to enjoy it quite a bit. Yeah. It's nice to have at least some Busey representation in this in this selection.
I feel like my leadership of this podcast is exhibit A on why we should no longer elect men to office.
Okay.
I feel like I've failed at every stage of planning this season. And I would like to apologize yet again for my failure. I just can't in good conscience make you watch Mikey and Nikki.
This is a big moment, listeners.
I'm
hoping that we didn't lose any already because of the original Mikey and Nikki pick. But this mea culpa is pretty. This is a big moment. I think Anthony's apologized three times in his life, never to me.
And I didn't mean it twice.
Right. So no, for
this
sure.
is the first time I've done it and actually meant it. The other two times were just because I thought I could manipulate the person who.
Yeah, it was done in kind of a sing-songy, sarcastic way.
So this movie is just, it's a disaster. I had to watch it in like four sittings.
Oh, so you actually went through the whole thing.
I went through the whole thing. And by the end of it, I was kind of like, that's kind of interesting. But there is at least an hour and a half of just unwatchable dreck.
And that's like a length of a movie.
And I don't think it necessarily. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And
so embedded in this movie is a full bad movie.
You know, sometimes. That would be a really great way to say that. Yes. So it has story problems. It has, you know, writing problems. But most prominent is that the acting in this movie is just really hard to watch. And it's like you're watching two people who are completely crazy in two different ways.
Two of your buddies said, hey, we're going to do mushrooms. Can you just watch us? Sure. Try to interact.
One of them's doing mushrooms and the other one is like speaking in tongues. The other one's got the Holy Ghost. So I feel like you might want to have a look at this.
talk about it.
I want to give you the out. Like, I want to give you the opportunity to like say, yeah, this is crazy. I'm going away. I'm running away from my screen at this point. I don't want to force you to watch it, but I wonder if this is one of those movies where it's like, I can't look away. this is like a train wreck, and I can't really look away. So I don't know how you'll receive this movie, but I don't want to...
I probably won't receive this movie, but I mean... I won't say a definitive never, but I'm not gonna go out of my... Are we replacing this movie?
Yes, we are replacing this movie. Okay. And I have a suggestion. This is the most simple and most elegant solution to the problem that I created. I would like to suggest to you, Steve, that we...
Yes.
Choose a different movie in 1976. It's actually the movie that won Best Picture in 1976. It's actually the movie that is quoted at the beginning of every one of our podcasts. It is the movie Rocky. And I should have taken it a long time ago. I mean, I don't know why I didn't. And I think that the reason why is like, oh, wait a second, isn't this a sports movie? And I would say to you, look a little bit closer. Look a little yeah. bit closer. And I've
contended that this is that Rocky is at its core a love story.
It's a love story that is set around a crime family in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
the boxing in this movie is tertiary at best.
Right.
The action scenes attest to that in
right.
in Rocky.
Yes. Well, and also you could argue that the climactic boxing scene, and here we are already reviewing the movie. You could argue that the climactic boxing scene really doesn't serve so much as a climactic ending to a sports movie, but as a opportunity to provide a metaphor for everything that's led up to this moment.
Yeah.
And that's all I'll say about that. Little teaser.
I don't say anything else. I do have a sense of what the movie is trying to convey. I think it works pretty well with our Felonies and Fugazis theme, even though it is not traditionally thought of as a crime drama.
I mean, we're moving forward with Hero at Large and The Last Dragon, so Rocky should at least get a nod.
All right. So I think that we've solved that, and I'm not saying that this is going to work. We could be horrible. You know, this season could be our worst yet, but I'm willing to.
I try to live like every show is our worst and every season is potentially our worst.
And because I am fully committed to my toxic masculinity, I am prepared to go down with the ship.
Cocoon of horror.